Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the prohibition of ghiba, backbiting, and protecting one's tongue, as in explaining how serious it is, the words that emanate from a person's mouth. And the usul, the principle at the beginning, if we keep in our lives, it will help us to go very, very far. If there's only good in what we speak, then we should speak it. If there's potential of good and bad in what we are speaking, then we should be careful of that speech and rather refrain. And if it is only bad, then obviously a person refrains. And if it is layani, in other words, it is just gabshap, just to pass time, we're talking about sports and talking about unnecessary things, things that have no value in this world and in the akhirat, then that also we should refrain from. So this words that emanate from a person's tongue, Allah Ta'ala has kept an angel. Illa ladayhi raqibun atid. The angel is waiting to capture, to record those words that are coming out from a person's mouth. And this will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah, what words came out of a person's mouth. And it's not difficult in this world, things that are intangible, for example, temperature, we've got a gauge that can measure temperature, we've got a gauge that can measure speed, something that is intangible, we've got a gauge that can measure wind, and we've got gauges that can measure the amount of moisture in the atmosphere, etc. Various gauges that can measure things that are intangible. So for Allah Ta'ala to measure and to weigh speech is nothing difficult. Very easy for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to weigh. So it is for us, it is upon us that we be careful of the speech that we make. And even one word, today's hadith will show us, just one word or even just a few words, how deadly it can be, how toxic it can be. Just a few words also. And sometimes we think nothing of these few words. One hadith we did, that the person who speak and he'll say one word, and that one word only will be a means of this person getting the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala and going into the fire of Jahannam. Just one word. How careful we have to be of our daily speech. So today's hadith, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, قُلْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم حَسْبُكَ مِنْ صَفِيَّةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا قال بعض الرواة دعني قصيرة فقال لقد قلت كلمة لو مزجت بماء البحر لمزجته قالت وحكيت له إنسانا فقال ما أحب أني حكيت إنسانا وإن لي كذا وكذا رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح ومعنى مزجته خالطته مخالطة يتغير بها طعمه أوريحه لشدة نتنها وقبحها وهذا الحديث من أبلغ الزواجر عن الغيبة قال الله تعالى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى And then Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that I said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم such and such in respect of Safiya is sufficient for you. What this is referring to is our Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she was from a Yahudi, from a Jewish tribe, that on the occasion of the conquest of Khaybar, she had come into the booty of the Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had freed her and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had married her. So she is one of the mothers, one of our mothers, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. In terms of stature, she was short. She was short. So that, and it normally happens amongst co-wives that sometimes they'll say, one wife will say something about the other wife. So in this manner, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had made reference to the height of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha's father was one of the leaders of the Jews. His name was Huyay bin Akhtab. So this was his daughter. So she was from that lineage. So anyway, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha made reference to her being short. So she told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَسْبُكَ مِنْ صَفِيَّةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا It is sufficient for you that Safiya is like this and like that, referring to her height. That's all she did. She made reference to her height. In other words, there's a deficiency in her height. Look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that you have made such a statement that if it were to be mixed with the water of the ocean, it would pollute the water of the ocean. In other words, all the waters in the ocean, in other words, all the oceans put together, that one statement that you made, had it been mixed with the ocean, its stench is so great, its toxicity is so great, that it will actually pollute all the oceans. So this is not a small thing. This is teaching us how careful we have to be about our words. Anama explained that for something to pollute something else, the thing that is placed in it must be stronger. In other words, if you're placing something in water, the thing that you are placing must be stronger for it to pollute that water, for example. So like that, if something is placed into the ocean of the water, or the waters of the ocean, it has to be stronger than the waters of the ocean to pollute all the water of the ocean. So in other words, the statement that emanates from the mouth is so toxic, it overpowers all the water of the ocean also. In other words, in its effect. So therefore, when a person speaks, he must understand how powerful, how deadly, how devastating these words can be that emanate from a person's mouth. Anyway, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, now she goes on further to say, and look at who is narrating this hadith. That is also important. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is narrating a hadith wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuked her. So this was her honesty also. Sahaba were like that. Even if they got rebuked, they would relate the hadith so that we could learn. Not that they would try and justify their faults, and I meant this, and I meant that, and this is my reasoning, and that is my reasoning, but she really was short. She didn't say anything like that. She related it as it happened. This is what I said. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me in return. Not scared about her respect, etc. What comes first in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ummah can learn from this error and this mistake that I made. The whole ummah can learn. It's not about my respect. Now, this is what you call a very high level of honesty. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha further goes on to say, that I related something about a person to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I would never relate something about a person, even if I was given such and such in recompense. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very nice way. Once she narrated something about someone else, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to her, that I would never relate something about someone else, even if I was given such and such in recompense. In other words, if I was given so much, then also, I won't speak about someone else like the way you spoke. In other words, telling us to be very careful of what you speak. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi explains that the words pollute in this hadith means that it is polluted in such a way that its taste or smell changes. Talking about the waters of the ocean here, that its smell changes because of the terrible odor and stench of the pollutant. This is one of the most eloquent forms, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is saying, this is one of the most eloquent forms of reproach against backbiting. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak of his own desires. Whatever he says is revelation revealed to him. So such a beautiful way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. So I say some points and this will just quickly mention it. Ulama have mentioned that one should abstain from all forms of backbiting. Number one, backbiting about another person's physical features by saying he's fat or he's dark or he's short. Number two, backbiting about another person's clothing by saying he wears cheap or ugly clothing, that we shouldn't be doing. Number three, backbiting about another person's family lineage by saying that he's from such and such a tribe, his forefathers were of a low caste, etc. Number four, backbiting about another person's habits by saying that he's very weak, he sleeps too much, he's lazy, he fears his wife, etc. Number five, backbiting about another person's weakness in acts of ibadat by saying he does not perform his salah correctly, he does not perform tahajjud salah, his only objective is performing umrah. The only reason he's going for umrah is he wants to go shopping, he wants to go for a holiday. So now we're finding faults in a person's ibadat. That also shouldn't be done. Number five, backbiting about another person's sins by saying that he is very jealous, he lies a lot, he is disrespectful to his parents, he drinks wine, etc. This is obviously where a person has got his own personal faults. He is drinking wine, he is affecting himself. He is jealous, he is affecting himself. Person is doing something wrong that affects himself, for example, eating some pork or something,
he's affecting himself. Now in a situation like that, we don't backbite the person. We don't speak about him. However, a person is doing wrong that affects other people. Now to create warning and to make people aware that be careful of such a person, that won't be regarded as backbiting, because there is a reason for us speaking about another person. This is just talking about the personal faults of people. Somebody has got a personal fault and he's not making it appear to be right and correct and he's not justifying it in public, then we leave his personal fault to him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where we can correct it and we're able to correct it in a nice way, we should try and correct it. May Allah ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of making amal. So all these things that we mentioned, these 5 points that we mentioned, is the intention of the above is to correct a person, to inform him, and those who are able to correct it, then it won't be regarded as backbiting. They should try in some way to make an effort to correct it. Backbiting is where we, as I explained, there's no benefit in what we're saying. We're just reporting about this person's faults and weaknesses and all that. This is not correct. Where we are able to make some difference and we're able to speak to the person nicely, explain to him without carrying tales about him, then that is what we should do. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of being careful of our words. From this hadith we see how deadly and devastating it can be. Even the waters of the ocean can get polluted by the words that come out of our mouth. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.